Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving. At your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach. And see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, Menas. Joining me, as ever, is Paul Dennett. Paul, how are you?
I'm very good. One of the successes this summer is that I got my daughter into the cricket. The disappointing thing was because we watched it on Channel 7, we are now watching Holy Moly together.
And returning is Jaleesa. Why are you eating a toasted sandwich, Jaleesa?
Am I not allowed to do that?
Well, we have had plenty of time to eat before the show. You've had a big break. We're about to record and you start eating.
Are you kidding? I can't eat a toasted sandwich.
Well,
I'm now a senior contributor.
Well, do you think this is elite eating a toasted sandwich during a recording?
You won't even notice.
You should be doing elite eating before.
But sometimes the show goes really long and it's like, it is actually quite a long show and I get very hangry and I can't concentrate when I'm hangry.
Do you think this is going to make the listeners proud of us when you're eating and I can fucking hear you eating on the mic?
They literally won't even know. They literally won't even know.
What are you doing, Paul? What is this? A toasted sandwich party? Everyone's eating. Aren't we supposed to be talking?
We can
cricket?
Gulp this out.
I mean, the tour to South Africa has been cancelled.
At one gulp, and this thing's gone. Like in that little segment you do, like you won't even know.
Is this the sort of standard we want to set for Australia? Oh well, it sounds like I'm fighting a losing battle, so I might have a snack too while we get into this. So we've got
they won't even know.
What?
Listeners won't even know.
Obviously not.
We're dribbling anyway.
Good enough for Manus, it's good enough for us.
We stand with Manus.
Not good listening. So, we've got a big show. As I said, the South African tour has been cancelled. We're joined by Carlos Brathwaite and James Vince. We've got all the cricket headlines. And then Swiss cheese. Do you like Swiss cheese?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. I was just thinking.
No, good toasties. And then we're going to read on home with Can't Let It Go. All right.
I can't let the sandwich go to waste.
I know. The sandwiches are too good. All right. So let's get straight into it.
I'll stop eating the sandwich.
Then you can keep eating. It's fine, Jaleesa. This is about your contribution from last week. How are you anyway?
Really good. Well, you asked about Rose. You might have had a point. I'm really good. Sorry I wasn't here last week. I Travis-headed myself, ruled myself out. Really happy that I got some Big Bash tickets.
Got some water now, don't you?
Why did I reject the drink? That was terrible. really happy that I got Big Bash tickets, actually, because they were extremely hard to get. The first round I missed out on. got on at 9 o'clock this morning because I actually have to do a live cross outside the stadium. And it's quite funny because every time you do a live cross for the news outside a stadium, you get 1,000 people come up to you and say, "Can you get me tickets?" I can't even get myself tickets. Like, I am on there at 9 o'clock refreshing ticket tech like everyone else. But I did get the tickets and I'm really excited.
Oh, good. Some not exciting news, though, broke last night. So we're recording this on Wednesday. So on Tuesday night, it was announced that Australia has postponed its tour to South Africa after being given medical advice that they shouldn't go. Graham Smith from Cricket South Africa has said, "We are extremely disappointed by the decision of CA. To be informed about the CA decision at the 11th hour is frustrating." I'll start with you, Paul. As much as I feel for them, I just don't think that Cricket Australia could do anything else.
I agree. I think that it's really bad for world cricket that this tour doesn't go ahead, but that's not Cricket Australia's priority. As an employer, they've received medical advice that this is a situation that's vastly more dangerous than any of the other tours they've gone on. South Africa, unfortunately, is, you know, they've had 110,000 cases in the last 2 weeks. They have a 10% positive test rate rating at the moment, which means that effectively, that means there are many, many more cases than that. There's the mutant strain of the virus out there. The bubble didn't work when England were over there. So if they can't be guaranteed of a proper biosecure bubble, and I'm sure Cricket South Africa are earnestly saying that we can, I just don't think it's a risk that they can take. One player gets it. Who knows what the long-term implications for that are. As an employer, I just think they had to cancel it.
Yeah, it's a little bit disappointing, but I agree with Paul. They had to cancel it. I wonder if there was any options explored to bring them over here or to perhaps meet in a neutral ground.
So Nick Hockley, the interim CEO at Cricket Australia, spoke to the media this morning. He said that CA did offer to host the series here, but that was rejected by South Africa.
That's disappointing.
That is disappointing, and that they're not going to alter the T20 squads to New Zealand. They're going to be the same because all the players that are going to New Zealand that aren't in the Big Bash have already had to start isolating to make the flight. So there's actually, they couldn't get the test players in, I don't think, at this late stage to leave on Monday, which is when they're due to leave. So it's very disappointing for South African cricket. I know this will leave a big hole in their finances, which are already in dire straits, but there's nothing they could do.
Were the players not already isolating to go to South Africa?
No, I don't think they were because I don't think they're supposed to go as soon as the white ball, which was supposed to go on Monday, is going on Monday.
Mm.
The one thing that did jump out at me from Nick Hockley's press conference talking about this was actually he was slightly non-committal about whether Cricket Australia would allow the Australian players to go and play in the IPL. So that could be a real issue coming up if Cricket Australia says, look, you just can't go, it's not safe.
If when the IPL is due to start, the situation over there is deemed to be unsafe and Cricket Australia is reluctant to allow the players to go, I would imagine that the players would probably not feel like going either.
One follow-on from this is that the test squad could now be available to play in the second half of the Sheffield Shield season. And bearing in mind, Australia now does not have any test cricket scheduled until the Ashes. So although it's a long way from the Ashes, this might be an opportunity for the Australian squad to play some red ball cricket. But, it's certainly, we could get a lot of great players in the Shield.
From my point of view, that'd be fantastic. I'd love to see all the test players playing in the Shield. But from their own point of view, I think that unless they really want to play, I don't think they should be required to because they spend so much time on the international treadmill and especially in these COVID times with the bubbles and everything else. It must be so difficult. I mean, how long was it that Steve Smith was away from his family? Months and months. David Warner,
almost 6 months.
Yeah. As much as I'd love them to play, I think they should say to them, if you want to play, knock yourselves out. We'd love to have you. But if you want to just go and spend some time with your family or lie on a beach somewhere, then that's fine as well.
I really think there should be a bit more consideration into getting the players to New Zealand, at least for maybe the last couple of 2020s, because I was just looking at the dates then, and if you've got 2 weeks quarantine, it is feasible to get in for probably the third, even the second, if you've rushed them out really quickly. And we do have a 2020 World Cup coming, and a lot of the players in the test squad are not going to a lot of the players that would have been in the test squad, you'd presume, are going to play in that World Cup. If we really want to take that seriously, we could get them over there, surely.
Well, I made a similar point to last week to when we were talking to Pete Lawler, that even to the point that it was never even considered that we would pick the New Zealand side first and then, with the remnants of that, pick the test side for South Africa. Not that I was advocating that we should do that, but it just shows how low T20 internationals are in our priority.
Well, particularly if they were already expecting to be away anyway. It's not like you're adding an extra workload to them going to New Zealand. I just think, it's a bit of a shame that there's not more consideration, given there is a World Cup coming up.
Yeah, I wouldn't be like to be the selector that has to call the people and go, look, we know we selected you in the Australian squad, but we're unselecting you now.
It's business, baby.
It'd be like the X Factor in the Big Bash, just hook someone, at the airport, you just drag them off. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, I know.
And then Marshall Steve Smith passed him.
It sucks, but it's World Cup.
Exactly. I mean, I'd rather have that conversation than say, oh, yeah, we didn't win the World Cup, but we didn't upset Riley Meredith.
And you know what? These players aren't silly. They know why they're picked when others aren't available.
Cricket Australia could also argue that getting to see this sort of secondary talent, we know what we're going to get from Smith and Warner and everything else, so we might as well expose some of these guys to top level T20 cricket. So there's that side of it as well.
That's true.
Yeah, I think it's more around the protocols than anything else. So I'm going to back CA on this one. All right, well, let's take our first break of the show so we can finish our sandwiches. Well, Paul scoffed his down. He was hungry. It was good.
Yeah, I didn't even touch the size. You don't get to be 115 kilos without putting in a fair bit of effort.
He's full on labashamed it. I'm still picking.
All right, we'll take a break and then we'll be back with Carlos Brathwaite and James Vince, both from the Sydney Sixers. Carlos, the Sixers have seemed like a really happy team, really close-knit bunch of guys. But, I heard Benny Lachlan from the Brisbane Heat saying during the week how difficult the situation has been in the hubs. But, how's the team come together? I mean, it seems like you've almost been, brought closer together.
Yeah, there will be, and I guess there have been players who would have struggled from day to day, game to game. But I mean, as a team, we just get around them. You've been away from your family for so long, and then in some states, in some cities, we weren't even able to leave the hotel. We basically went from room to team room unless you were practicing or playing a game, and that was very difficult. Some guys absolutely hate the room and just social butterflies and want to get out. And if they're deprived of that, then it plays with your mental health, and that has come to the fore a lot more in recent years, just understanding and appreciating and, I guess, catering for players and their mental health. So as a group, I guess what we've done is always given an outlet where players can be social, whether it be in someone's room watching a game, whether it be in the team room and playing games. I think the management has done a fantastic job of ensuring that there was always activities for us to do. You think back to Perth, they had a case in Brisbane, and as a result, we were kind of blacklisted and could only go from room to team room for a couple of days. And we turned up there, and the management had like 6 board games, a putting thing for the golfers. So by the time we all got around to playing all 6 board games, the game was over and we were traveling back. That could have been a lot more difficult without that outlet of activity and mateship and camaraderie. So I think a big thank you must go to our management for the way that they've implemented different activities and facilitated us being as social as we want to. And obviously, if you don't want to be social, you head back to your room, you call your family and whatnot, and persons appreciate that as well. It's just been a good team, family vibe and atmosphere. And yeah, man, I mean, everything in one, I don't think it's one thing that you can pinpoint to say this is why we've been happy. I think it is a combination of a lot of small things that have been noticed by the management and catered to.
Yeah, wow. And just last one from me, going into another final, I'm just curious, in 2016, when Ben Stokes started that last over of the T20 World Cup final, what were you thinking?
Probably wasn't thinking, and that was a good thing. In the final, you just want to do the basics. You just need to get over the line. And I guess this is why you train as hard as you do, because you don't ever want to overthink in a final. I think at that point in time, I had a real clear mind. And, 19 runs off 6 balls, you're pretty much told or you have to do with our situation. So it wasn't much thinking to be had. Hopefully, we don't get in that situation on Saturday. But, yeah, I mean, the team that is most clear will win. Clear mind, good execution, and just holding your nerve on the day. I think that's the key to winning any big game, even more so a grand final.
Welcome back to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. That was Carlos Brathwaite from the Sydney Sixers talking in the lead-up to the Big Bash final. Now, joining us on the show now is James Vince. He's the Sydney Sixers opening batter who smashed 98 not out of 53 balls in the qualifier. He's also a former and current England international playing out here all summer. James, welcome to the podcast. First question, have you ever taken a toasted sandwich onto the field?
No, I can't say I have.
It's Big Bash. It's not a whole day.
Yeah, it might be a new innovation for next year.
Yeah, not required. I wouldn't mind. A four-day game, I can understand it, or a test match, but no need for T20.
Beautiful. So tell me, you seem like you've hit top form right at the perfect time in this tournament.
Yeah, I think I've found some nice rhythm in my batting in the last few games. So, like you say, building up to Saturday, hopefully I can carry that on and put in another performance which helps us win that trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you know, going for back-to-back titles, you know, in the sort of all the big games you've played in, you know, where does the Big Bash final sit?
It's up there. I think, yeah, any final is a pretty big occasion. And, yeah, the fact we're back home at the SCG after not playing there all year and able to play in front of our home fans, it'll be extra special. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I know all the other guys are. It should be a great night, and hopefully we can get the job done.
James, have you been nervously watching the weather? Because we all know what happened last year.
Yeah, well, there's a reserve day this year, isn't there? And I think the forecast is okay for Sunday. So last year was a bit different, knowing that if it did rain the whole time, we would have won it, and it wouldn't have been the best way to win it. But it was in the back of our minds, whereas this year, we know there's a high possibility that we'll play the game, whether it's Saturday or Sunday. So we're all preparing for that.
Yeah, right. I didn't realise there was a reserve day. You might need it the way things are going. Tell me, did AJ Ty say anything to you after the game against the Scorchers?
No, he didn't. To be honest, I can't really remember the moment too much. Obviously, know the ball he bowled, and then after, I think I walked straight to point to start shaking hands. So I'm pretty sure I did go and shake his hand, but I know a few of their guys, and they've said he's a pretty decent fella on the whole, and he wouldn't have meant to do it. So take their word for it, I guess.
Yeah. Who was more filthy? Was it you, or were there any of your teammates that were particularly angry?
Yeah, probably more my teammates, to be honest. I was just happy that we won, and I was there at the end. But, yeah, they were all cheering me on to try and get that 100, as were deep in the crowd. So, yeah, we all blew over pretty quickly. And the fact we won the game and in the style we did was just good enough.
Yeah, exactly. You got the result.
If you were picking the Australian side for the World Cup, would you pick Dan Christian? I think it's absolutely unbelievable he hasn't been picked. He's such a great player. Were you surprised he's not in consideration?
Yeah, I was a bit surprised. Obviously, the form he's been in, and with a couple of T20 World Cups around the corner, he couldn't have done much more than he's done. The experience he brings and the fact he's won as many trophies as he has, he's been great around the group this year. So a bit surprised, especially with, you know, the squad being split into two with the test tour that's now being postponed. But, I am surprised, as is everyone else involved in the Sixers as well, really.
Yeah, it's incredible he's not been selected. Tell me, there's a lot of discussion in Australia that the Big Bash is too long. You know, what is it like for sort of, you know, English players coming here? Does it feel like too big a commitment?
It is a long tournament. I think it's probably one of the longest ones that goes, definitely in comparison to the ones that are playing the winter as well, like the PSL is a lot shorter, but it is a big commitment. I guess in normal circumstances, it doesn't matter too much if you're able to bring family over and stuff and enjoy Australia as a country. You kind of, you know, can use it as not a holiday, but the family are able to come over and, you know, be with you as well, so that makes a difference. But because of the fact that we have been in the harbour, people have not seen their families for a while. You know, the length of the tournament this year is probably, you know, we've noticed it a bit more than in previous years.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And what about for you after the tournament? You're heading back to England for a county season and playing for the Southern Brave in the inaugural 100?
Yeah, before that I've got 5 or 6 days at home, and then going across to Pakistan to play in the PSL, which runs for about a month or so, and then I'll have a couple of weeks build up to the county season, which at the minute is due to start at the beginning of April. And then, of course, yeah, the 100 that you mentioned, I think scheduled for the back end of the summer. So hopefully by then, COVID's calmed down a bit and we're able to get some crowds back for that, because obviously the new competition, want it starting off in the best possible way.
When the Big Bash started in Australia, there was a fair bit of scepticism and we wanted to keep the old state-based tournament. There seems a lot of scepticism in England. What's your feel on whether it'll be a success?
Yeah, I don't see why it wouldn't be. I think generally, I don't know if it's just in cricket or in other sports and other life bits in general, but I think when stuff changes, a lot of people's first reaction is to, you know, to go against it. But then, you know, once it starts, people sort of warm to it, a bit like the rules this year, the change of rules. There was a lot of negative chat about them at the start, but I think as the tournament's gone on, people have bought into them a bit more and they've made the competition more interesting.
Absolutely. Well, James, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. Best of luck in the final. I think it's going to be huge, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, James. Good luck.
That was James Vince from the Sydney Sixers, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with the cricket headlines. You're listening to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm Menas. I'm with Jaleesa and Paul. It's time to get into the cricket headlines brought to you by Piccolo Podcasts. And the first headline is my associate here is not happy about Dan Christian being left out.
No, and I'm not happy with myself either, because last week, just before the show went out, we had the squads just revealed. And I just thought, oh, they're not too bad. And it's only afterwards that it dawned on me that the fact that Dan Christian is not in the Australian T20 squad is an absolute travesty. Now, if you look at all the batsmen who were in the test side and the batsmen in the T20 squad, we've got Carey, Green, Head, Enriquez, Labuschagne, Smith, Warner, Finch, Maxwell, Wade, Marsh, McDermott, Phillippe, Short, Stoinis and Turner. 16 batsmen have been chosen ahead of Dan Christian. He probably wasn't even the next in line. Basically, they're almost saying that he might make a fourth Australian side. This summer in the Big Bash, he's played at least two extraordinary match-winning innings. He has the latest stats I looked at of all the players that were picked for the New Zealand tour. He has the second highest strike rate. So Wade 188, Christian 187, Turner third on 155. Christian is averaging 36. He's right up there near the top. He's won 8 T20 titles throughout his career. Last winter, what did he do? He won the Vitality Blast with Knotts. What did he do in that? He was the man of the match in the semi-final. He was the man of the match in the final. When the Renegades ran it a few years ago, he was the man of the match. Don't tell me. He bowls as well. He's fit. Don't tell me that he's too old. If you were watching Australia and we're 4 for 70 after 11 overs in the T20 World Cup final, who do you want walking out to bat? You don't want Mitchell Marsh walking out to bat. You don't want half those other guys. They're all good players. Dan Christian would give you that lovely, warm feeling. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, what about if you need 40 off three overs?
Yeah.
He's the man to go out and smash a few sixes.
Exactly.
Who else is there that can do that apart from Maxi?
And how calm is he? Like, you just think, oh, Dan's going to be everything's going to be okay. We're going to win because Dan is there. I mean, it's weird that his whole career I've always just thought, yeah, good player, but I've just gradually this summer realised that I'm, you know, and this whole notion of he's too old. He's 6 years younger than Tom Brady. And the whole thing of
love that.
Let's prepare for the future. The future is now. We've got two World Cups in the next 15 months or something. If you're not preparing for these two World Cups, what is the future for T20 international cricket? That's all it is. It's World Cups, and we've never won one. Dan Christian is just about the first batsman I would pick. And I love Maxwell. I love Smith. I love all of them. But I want Christian in the side. And I think, you know, I don't like to say match fixing, but there's something extraordinary going on if he can't make the side.
I fully agree with you. First of all, didn't know you had that decibel in you. Very, 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 very impressed. yeah, look, I fully agree with you, but there's been a problem in cricket for a while, not just at a selection level, just but just as a whole in cricket, that we do age people so quickly. You go, you turn 34 and you're done. And I agree with you. I think age shouldn't come into it. It's ridiculous if someone, if the 38-year-old is in the prime
of their
career.
James Anderson's 54 and he's still opening and bowling for England.
I think if you're 38 and you're at the peak of your career, or you're 22 or you're at the peak of your career, I think the best people for the job. I don't believe in this ageism that we have and always have had around cricket.
Absolutely, and it's just changing. Sports science is getting better. These athletes are far more able to sort of be durable and play longer. They work on their fitness all the time. So, I agree with both of you.
Do you know what we do a lot in cricket, which doesn't seem to happen in any other sport? We are always looking to the future. And sometimes we just need to stop and look to the now, because it's like, oh, well, we can't pick him because in 5 years
Cameron Green's coming. Yeah. How exciting.
Or we've got an Ashes series in 18 months. But, it is important to plan for these things, but sometimes there is so much forward planning that you sacrifice the now.
Yep. I agree. So,
you're a turkey, Menas.
Why?
You're mocking there with the whole Pekowski and Green thing, because they obviously are worthwhile players for the future. But Jaleesa's point is valid.
People do get too excited about it.
Yeah. So you weren't mocking then?
No, I was mocking.
You're doing both.
I just choose to ignore him. You need to learn to do that. I just block him out. I forget he's here.
So mean. Well, from Madman Dennett to Mad Manners, boy, have I been triggered this week. So there's been a lot of reporting in the Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, and it's been circled around Justin Langer's performance with the team. Mm. And I'll give you some quotes from Andrew Wu's article. And I think it was co-written with Chris Barrett, but I don't want to lump him in with Andrew. The man in the mirror is almost a cliche, but if you want to be successful in life, you have to be able to look at yourself in the mirror, Langer said. And this is his reply to that. Andrew wrote underneath, this is as good a time as any for Langer to adopt his own mantra of elite honesty, but the early signs indicate more deflection than reflection. And this was in response to an article by Andrew Wu that the team was upset that Justin Langer was a bit too strict and he blew up at Marnus for wanting to take a toasted sandwich onto the field after a lunch break in his pocket. And this article seems to be based on leaks coming through player managers or similar sources. There was no actual player quoted. And then, well, what do you think of those claims about Langer being too strict, and that coming in this article?
Well, the central claim seemed to be that there was his moods were unpredictable, and there were times when, because of that, players felt not so comfortable. And I can't criticise the journalist for writing it. I mean, if he's been getting backgrounded this information, it seems like a legitimate article. Now, obviously,
I'm not criticising him for writing it.
What are you
criticizing?
I think it's badly written. I actually don't think it's an article that has much substance to it. I mean, I understand why he wrote it, because it would be hard to resist that sort of a temptation if you're given that information. But if you're a journalist, don't you sit back and go, they've just lost to India, these players are tired, they've been in bubbles for 6 months, this is just a few players whinging to their managers, there's actually no substance to this, Langer obviously he's an intense character, but what do you want to do? Go back to Darren Lehman, where everything's just, or have a bit of a sit back and relax.
But sorry, in Andrew Wu's defence, and I'm a big fan of Andrew Wu, that he is a journalist. He isn't there to make sure the best outcome for the Australian team or the players.
He's there to report stories.
He's there to report stories, and this happened.
I just don't think this is a great
story.
This
is the information. Well, you can not like the story, but this is the
information.
So a player
goes and whinges to his manager, that's a story now?
If it comes out through the media, 100%, that's
but
a story.
Andrew frames it as there's a problem with Langer's coaching.
But Andrew doesn't have a, Andrew doesn't have an obligation to first Cricket Australia or Australian cricket or Langer
to
be seen in a great light.
Absolutely. But he goes in with Langer needs to, work on his coaching and reflect on what he's done over the season. I think the story is that a few players have a whinge.
No, I think it's more than that. I mean, if you read the actual story, he says, Multiple sources close to the Australian setup have told the Herald of concerns about the demands on Langer.
So multiple sources could be two managers.
No, but the implication there is that it's something more substantial than that. Dressing room sources say that over a grueling summer, Langer's management style wore thin with some players who, on top of having to live in a bubble for months on end, say they have become drained by his intensity and mood swings. And I'd say, to me, that seems like a legitimate article. Of course, Langer's not going to like it. And maybe
I don't expect Langer to like it.
Maybe it's been it's not quite as serious as it might be made out, but it seems to me like a legitimate article. And as much as I like Langer, I could see how that would be. Now, I'm not in there. I don't know what's happening. But I could see how Langer would be the kind of guy that when he got really intense, you would be standing there at second slip thinking, oh, God, I hope I don't drop a catch because I'm going to get blasted when I come back. And remember in the test documentary when Finch, was it Finch who didn't review, and it turned out that he was out and he walked back off and Langer was absolutely fuming at him for not having called the DRS when, you know, these things are very, very easy in hindsight. And that to me seemed like a strange thing for a coach to do. I've always been pleased with him being in the Australian coach. I think I still am. But it doesn't sound implausible that some of these things could be true and valid criticisms.
And quite frankly, when you looked at Tim Payne, that, you know, that whole sledging moment, then how defensive he was in that first press conference, and then he reeled it right back to being apologetic. I actually wondered then what kind of pressure's on... What kind of pressure internally is going on Payne?
Well, because Payne to win the series against India.
No, but what I'm saying, Menas, is Payne was taking the...
He's the captain!
Payne was taking the blame. You're not listening to what I'm saying.
I am listening.
Payne was taking the blame in the dressing room for setting a bad tone. But obviously, I felt like there was something external that was pushing on Payne as well. Like, not one person...
I think it was the pressure to win.
One person doesn't start... getting edgy unless they are starting to feel not just the pressure to win. He's lost plenty of, you know, games. He knows how to lose. But it just felt like there was obviously tension everywhere.
Well, that's because they weren't winning. I think that comes down to the performance on the field.
At that point, no one had lost the match.
They were desperate to win that test in Sydney, and that's what got to Payne because they couldn't get the wickets. But what you say about, you know, finding a few players, you could go into every cricket dressing room after every match or every series and you could find a couple of players who weren't 100% happy with the coach. And all they've done is done that and framed it as one of the reasons Australia didn't perform well.
No, I don't think that's right at all.
I don't agree. I think you've taken the tone of the article wrong.
I heard Randy Uru on the radio yesterday saying Langer is now working through the process of reflecting on the criticism. I mean, all Langer does is reflect. I mean, every interview he talks about how he's reflecting on his own performances. I mean, this just seems to me that the players were annoyed, they were tired, they lost, and they had a whinge to their managers and it got out. And I just don't think there's much to it.
I think if you're a journalist and you're given this information and you're not writing it...
I'm happy for him to write it, but I can still say it's not very good.
But I think that your point that every time there's been a losing series that an article like this could have been written isn't true because articles like this weren't written. And I don't think it's because journalists have suppressed them. I think if you're the journo and you get this, you're going to write it.
Absolutely.
I think that indicates that maybe there is something there. And also, doesn't mean we have to go back to Boof. There are other styles as well. You look at Trevor Bayliss, not that I'm saying he should be the Australian coach, but... As England coach, he was renowned for being calm and laid back, and the players were knowing that they could go out there and express themselves in a one day, and knowing that if you jumped down the wicket and tried to hit it for six and you hold out it long on and the side ultimately collapsed, you weren't going to get a barreling because you were encouraged to express yourself, and that's the way we play. We're going to win a lot more than we lose. Would the Australian players feel that way? There are other styles than either Langer or Lehman.
This is what Langer had to say in response to the article by Andrew Roo, and this was on the Cricket Etc. podcast.
Look, the only disappointing thing that is for me is that, and Pete, you've known me a long time, is, you know, I read a piece today by Andrew Roo saying that I've got something about elite honesty and being honest with myself. One thing I'm very good at, and I wouldn't be again like with having men, I wouldn't be here now today unless I was great at self-reflection, great at learning. I get advice from, all the time. So one thing I do is I learn and I get better. And yeah, I mean, the only disappointing thing from the weekend's report was that there was discussion that was coming from within the camp. And I, you know me, I'm a pretty simple bloke. Let's get this on the record. Yeah, I am intense. Yeah, Yep, and I am serious. Yep, I am. Do I get grumpy sometimes? Yep, I get grumpy sometimes. I'm not perfect, that's for sure, but I'm pretty good at some of the things I do. And, you know, you just don't like it when you feel that that people are through managers or players or whatever, and I'd rather they come straight to me. I mean, that's the Australian way as I know it. And I just come and let's talk through it, let's go through it, and we'll work things out. But you know, that's, as I say, Pete, we'll learn from it. I'll learn.
Justin Langer there, effectively confirming that Andrew Wu's article did have some accuracy.
Why? Yeah, essentially, that is what he's saying.
He's not saying it didn't happen. He's saying I'm annoyed that that's the way that it got filtered out, that it got out through the dressing room. That's effectively him confirming that there's some validity to it.
No, the validity is that he's intense. But
should we explain how this came about with this toasted sandwich?
Yeah, what happened?
Well, you explain, Manus.
Well, Manus, after the lunch break, was it on the final day, the Gabba wanted to take a toasted sandwich out in his pocket. And JL said, I don't want you to take it out. It's not a good look. And I am 100% sure Manus did not care that Langer told him not to take it out. So what's the big deal? I mean, I think it's a bad look. There's 20 cameras at the Gabba, you're trying to win a test match, and if Australia doesn't win, which we didn't, the photo on the paper the next day is Manus chomping on a toastie at fine leg or something.
You can look, yeah, there's plenty of cameras around. If a player's hungry and they can slip a toastie in between what seemed to be overs that were taking my whole life, do it. I don't care.
The toasted sandwich thing is an example. That's probably a trivial example. Whereas if the truth is that there are players who are feeling that his communication style is not effective and that his mood swings are, if he has mood swings and they are a problem, that seems to be a more substantial criticism, which Langer to me seemed to implicitly to a degree not contradict in those quotes.
Also, you've told it in a very like light-hearted way. We don't know that it wasn't a really trivial issue that blew up for no reason. Do you know what I mean? That ended up a really big issue for no reason. We don't know that.
Well,
we don't.
Got some sources close to Manus that seem to say that it was.
Well, it's come out. The story came out.
It's a mountain out of a molehill. So, someone in that team, they're tired, they've lost India, and they're looking for people to blame. And, you know, I'm with Justin Langer. This is a hype. This is the Australian team. I mean, it's not great cricket on a Saturday. I mean, it should be intense. It should be, driving high standards. Langer's not there to pat them on the back and say, good one, mate, all the time.
I disagree. Like, when sport starts getting intense and scary and you can feel tension, I hate that. I hate it because we're not saving lives. It's cricket.
I know.
And the thing is that people go to watch people enjoy a sport. I like watching enjoyment. I don't like watching Tim Payne looking tense and scared. And you know what? That kind of culture, that leads to what we had in Sandpaper. Because people are under pressure and they're scared and they're worried. And then
then it's the players pointing the finger at the coach. Take it on the chin. You weren't good enough to bowl India out. Had nothing to do with JL. And you're probably all grumpy and upset because you've been in hubs for 7 months. So I just think it's completely poorly framed. And, you know, obviously the players have had a whinge. And
it seems like the Australian cricket team's lost a bit of its fun. And it's hard to be fun when you're losing a series against India on home soil. But I just think, like, it needs to be.
I think they still have a good time. I think they're a great.
I think when you've got stories coming out like this through managers, that's not having a good time.
But I think you cannot ignore when it's come out. They've just lost at home. They're all upset and they're all pointing the finger. And, you know, all it takes is a couple of players to have a whinge to their manager and this gets out. And I just think it's a storm in a teacup.
It may be, but it may not be. And I don't think we're in enough knowledge to know either way. And I think that it was an article that, if you got that background information, you're going to write it, and I think it was an article that needed to be written if you got that information.
We've spent 20 minutes talking about it. That means it was worth writing.
I would write it that there's some players here having a whinge and they should pull their finger out. That's what I would say. Anyway,
Who's paying you for that?
Paying me for what?
To write that.
No, well, nobody, fortunately. all right, well, so that was the the latest controversy around the Australian cricket team, the toasted sandwich fiasco, which bled into the podcast.
Did anybody, like, the real journalism here was what was on the toasty? No one got to the bottom.
Ham and cheese.
Well, they were ham and cheese. Wasn't it was ham and cheese. And I don't know if you remember, Nick Manson used to do this in the Big Bash. But see, this is where I get it.
Who
you
cares?
Have a short break between innings. You've been batting. You've got to eat something. I mean, you've just had a lunch break. I mean, it is a bad look to walk out. There's no doubt about it.
Come on, JL. Sorry, Menace. What's going on?
Put that sandwich away. Sir Scoffalot here. All right, so let's get into the Big Bash. We spoke to Jane Vincent, Carlos Brathwaite, who are playing in the final. They will either host the Brisbane Heat or the Perth Scorchers. When you listen to this, you probably know which of those teams they're facing. But going back to the beginning of the knockout phase of the Big Bash, well, the Heat, well, let me just start off by saying there's been three knockout games. I'm curious. The Heat eliminated the Strikers, the Sixers smashed the Scorchers, and the Heat then eliminated the Thunder. All three teams batting first seem to have just come out of the box very timid. None of the teams batting first seem to have taken the game on. Have you noticed that?
No. To be brutally honest.
Okay, well, the Heat eliminated the Strikers after the Strikers made 7 for 130 in their 20 overs. 130 is not going to win you many 20 over games. Manus Labuschagne, the toasted sandwich fiend, took 3 for 13 with the ball.
Because he was allowed a toasty.
Well, he probably had one at the break. Oh, you're going to run to your manager.
Oh, stop being mean to Manus.
Manus was completely innocent in this. He did not whinge to his manager. And then, so the Sixers then smashed the Scorchers. And we just had James Vince on. He made 98 not out, chasing 168 to win. But the big controversy in that match was Mitch Marsh was given out, caught down the leg side. And he was fined $5,000 for an audible reaction to the umpire. What do you two think? Was 5K enough? Should he have been suspended for a game?
I think 5K was probably fair. If you do it again, I think you should look at suspensions. But obviously it was a bit of an outburst, and given the nature of the Big Bash and that you've got kids and everything like that, you can't be doing that. But I think 5K is your first warning's all right.
One of my great regrets.
It is tax deductible.
One of my great regrets about my lack of cricket ability is never getting to play in a tournament where there isn't DRS and doing the DRS sign. That's what I would do if I was Mitchell. I would have reviewed it like that and made it so ostentatious. Yo, I want to review. Oh, there's no review. Oh, I didn't hit it though. And look, I just think Cricket Australia is the ones to blame. They should fine themselves for not having DRS. There was a package just after that on Foxtel where they showed all the umpiring blunders. And there was one of them where hit the batsman right in front and he didn't give it out. And I thought, oh, that is a blunder. And then he did give it out. It turned out there was a massive inside edge. And I hadn't seen it either on the replay. And it just reminded me, it's the most impossible job being an umpire, where you've got technology that corrects you within a few seconds. No other sport has such brilliant technology that exposes you and that you then cannot use. So, yes, Mitchell Marsh shouldn't have reacted that way. He probably should have been suspended because, as we're, you know, the youngsters are watching it and you've got to be able to bite your tongue, but I wouldn't have been able to. I would have gone berserk and then regretted it massively.
How's his arm? Has he punched any?
he has had a few shockers go against him in this Big Bash, old Mitch, and I think that was the second or third from that same umpire. So I think there was a build-up of frustration, but you just can't do that. As you say, punch a wall if you want in the dressing room.
Probably don't do that either. Maybe just a few deep breaths.
So then we had the Challenger match, and I could have these names all wrong. I'm just making them up now. But then eliminated the Thunder.
The Challenger.
The Challenger, the Eliminator, I don't know. But all I know is the Thunder finished third on the ladder. They looked so good throughout the tournament. Mm. And then they faced the battling Brisbane Heat. And the Chunder just limps to 8 for 158. They never got going. And actually, it was a pretty tense chase. But in the end, the Heat got there pretty comfortably. 3 for 162. Sammy Heaslett, Yes, the guy who played like one day international for Australia 10 years ago made 74 not out of 49 deliveries. Jimmy Pearson, the little keeper that keeps going, 43 not out of 24. So that means the Heat take on the Scorchers at Marnica Oval.
That game really showed how reliant they were on Alex Hales. When he failed, they failed.
Yep.
And that's unfortunate.
You have to say disappointing exit for the Thunder, they.
Yeah.
One and done.
Disappointing for me because all season I've been quietly sort of indicating I think they're going to win and sort of sounding like I've got sort of a little bit of upstairs power thinking that through and then, you
know. Brain power,
yeah,
upstairs
like
power.
I'm, you know, that's what I'm trying to think.
Yes. I wanted a derby too, derby final, given it was going to be at the SCG.
Mm. And then the match between the Heat and the Scorchers has been played at Marnica Oval because of the lockdown in Perth. So no home ground advantage for the Scorchers, which is a big one. And I guess it's going to be a huge final on Saturday night at the SCG. The ratings for the Big Bash have been very, very good. Channel 7 continue to draw strong audiences to their Test and Big Bash cricket. And at the same time, they're going to court and asking for a reduction in their rights fees, and their PR department's releasing press releases saying, oh, record ratings for the cricket. So I don't know if they've got much chance of winning that case now.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? What would be great is if they could say, right, South Africa, come over here now, play a 5-test match series in all the main venues, have it on free-to-air TV with nice bouncy wickets and everything else. It would rate the house down. Obviously, you'd have to push the rugby league and AFL seasons back a couple of months.
No problem.
But that is, I touched on it last week, it's one of the sad things about the international cricket season for men's international cricket season now. It's over so quickly that I'm already, you know, I can't believe it's gone, come and gone.
Mm.
It'll be disappointing, I think, if it's not the Scorchers in the final because I can't...
They're clearly the second best team.
Quite clearly. And the Heat, I can't see them doing much against the Sixers. I almost think that would be a little bit of a dud final, but prove me wrong. But, yeah,
I really hope... Chris Lynn?
I hope it's... I really hope it's the Scorchers because I also think there's now, like, a bit of, like, fire now. There's, like, the, you know, the tie... incident and everything, and the James Vins is now like a little bit, which you don't get
undercurrent,
which you don't get in the Big Bash because everyone's so damn friendly.
Actually, I was looking the other day, I compiled stats on every single Big Bash game ever just for my own fun. And no, it wasn't betting. it was
Ladbrokes.
Actually, I'll read them out because they're actually quite interesting.
Please.
Usually a preface to a boring
story. Please read us.
But anyway.
Please read us your account balance and...
Yes, and your tips.
And login and password.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the history of the Big Bash in terms of regular season games, every club has now played 99 games.
I saw
this,
yep.
So it's kind of almost a percentage. And the...
This is a great thing you put together.
Thank you.
I really... When I saw this, I was like, this is very
did
revealing.
Did you put this together? You haven't and
can you,
taken
I,
this
Can we start at the bottom, please, and work our way up?
We can start at the bottom. And by the way, in putting this together, I was checking on Wikipedia and other things, it mentioned the big rivalries of the Big Bash, and one of them was Sydney and Perth. And I was like, oh, they've almost already classified it as a derby, which, you know...
Well, they've played a couple of finals at least against each other.
60-hour drive between the two cities, so it's a pretty adventurous derby. But anyway, so we've got 99 matches regular season, Thunder in last place...
Hang on, what is this stat for? Sorry, we haven't quite explained.
Both total
what this
wins
is.
In the Big Bash
okay.
since it started. So
go
they've
on.
All played 99
yes, go on.
Games,
go on, go on.
And it's who's won.
And excluding excluding semis, just in the
regular season.
Season.
Okay.
Thunder have won 36. They have won one title though. Heat 43,
unsurprising,
one title. Renegades 43, one title. Jump up to the Hurricanes 49, no titles.
Matty Wade.
Strikers 52, one title. Melbourne Stars, 55, zero titles.
Zero titles.
And then the Sixers and the Scorchers have each won 56, so just above the Stars, the Scorchers with three titles, the Sixers with two. And the dramatic pause is, what will happen after this weekend? Will the Scorchers go to four, or will the Sixers go to three, or will they stay 3-2 if the Heat win?
Da, da, da. Wow.
So, yeah,
very exciting, very exciting.
That's really cool.
But I think it reflects what I would think that the Scorchers and the Sixers have been the two best-performed teams throughout the competition's history, and the Stars as well, but just haven't been able to win finals.
Yeah.
My poor Chunder.
Yeah, poor Chunder.
Raiders fan and a Thunder fan. It's a hard life.
Last headline, and it's something that I think will really tickle Paul's fancy. India are hosting England in a test series starting later this week. And I know Paul's very passionate about this. It's on free-to-air television in the UK on Channel 4.
That's really, really nice. And I know you're amused about how much I like it. But the fact that when was the last time that an England away tour was on free TV in England? You know, we're talking the 1990s.
I mean, just test cricket in England on free-to-air. They wouldn't have had any tests all summer. Would it be 2005 Ashes?
Yeah, exactly.
They're all in lockdown. This is perfect.
They're all going to go, what's this strange sport?
We've got nothing else to do. We can't leave the house.
Why is the football shrunk so much and why is it red and why is everyone wearing
long? Where's the EPL? Where's the EPL? All right, so that's it. There's lots of test cricket this week. India hosting England, Pakistan hosting South Africa, and Bangladesh taking on the West Indies. I'm actually not sure where that is. It is in Bangladesh?
I think it'd be, it's in Chittagong and Dhaka.
Okay, great.
And if that's wrong, I'll edit it out.
Great. All right, we're going to take our final break of the podcast, then we'll be back with viewer mail and Can't Let It Go. Just want to remind you to head on to Instagram or Twitter. We're at Oz Cricket Pod. That's AUS Cricket Pod. Also, we're on YouTube as Cricket Unfiltered. We're going to start to put up segments from the show on YouTube. So if you want to see what happens, the craziness that happens in the studio, go onto YouTube. Find us there, Cricket Unfiltered. And TikTok, Cricket Unfiltered TikTok.
Yeah, get on TikTok. And as I said last time, all the youngsters are giving me a hard time. I need some people over the age of 20 to back me up.
Over the age of 12. All right, we'll take a quick break and then we'll be back with viewer mail. Oh, we're almost at the end of Cricket Unfiltered podcast. Another week, another show, and some great correspondence. Paul, do you want to take it away with the first one from David?
Here's from David 507. Greetings from Barcelona. You guys are definitely one of the top 10 Australian cricket podcasts in Spain. I have one word for Australian opening batting woes, Khawaja. Remember him? Was arguably your best opener. You made him bat at three and eventually took him out of consideration for Australia altogether. Could bat circles around Harris or Burns. Also, why does Payne cop so much heat but not Langer?
You'll be happy to know we've rectified that today.
And I think that his reference to us being in the top 10 in Barcelona was because we were claiming to be in the top one in Mexico. So we're in the top 10 in Spain. That's fantastic. I hope they're going to...
Wait, there's 9 more cricket podcasts above us in Spain?
I think that's the joke.
He's joking.
That's the joke, I think. I'll be fact-checking the rankings. Don't worry, Jaleesa.
I was going to say, who are they? We need to hunt them down.
And David, just to let you know about Khawaja, he was actually the spare batter for the South African tour. So if someone had pulled out, he was next in line, just to give you an idea of where the selectors have got him in the pecking order. So he was just one spot out of that SA team. So, David, he might not be too far away from getting back into the side. Now we've got
David, can I just say on Khawaja, your opinion is also shared a lot. I get so many tweets about Khawaja, probably more than any other player. Yeah, why isn't there Khawaja?
Have they watched Australia play?
But also, he wasn't very good in the big rush.
He wasn't very good. When we really needed him.
He wasn't very good when we needed him. He wasn't very good in the big bash. I like Khawaja, but I can't.
I like him too. He's a fantastic player when he's in form.
Yeah, exactly, when he's in form.
He's best and worst. There's too much of a gap between. Now, next, we've got a review here in Australia, Apple Podcasts from Tombs. Do you want to read this one
out? I get to read it. Okay, the title is I'm in Love. Awesome podcast. It's been great listening to Manners and
always. It's always. Please don't forget that.
Oh, sorry. God.
Always been
it's
great.
It's always.
It would have helped if you'd printed this off in a three-point font.
I'm reading this with my magnifying glasses. Awesome podcast. It's always, controversial, been great listening to Menes and his often controversial opinions. The addition of Jaleesa Apps to the podcast has been a masterstroke. I'm in love. Should we read where they're from? Probably not.
Well, Palm Beach, New South Wales. I mean, he put it out.
Nick. We'll call him. Review. Yeah, it's just Nick.
He must have cropped the third line out where he said, and I also like Paul.
Paul's made a great inclusion too. Yeah, did you get those reviews since you came on board? All right, I've got one now.
Yeah, thanks, Nick, if that's anyone other than my boyfriend, Nick. Thank you. Because it probably is him.
Here we go. All right. Well, thank you, whoever left that review. Now we've got a review on Apple Podcasts in Great Britain from Haida Chima. And this is counterpoint to the hater. Don't listen to the haters, guys. Love the pod and wanted to let you know it was a bright light in my lockdown tedium. Aww. Big fan of the pod from Pakistan. So there's a country for Jaleesa to colour in her map.
Aww. Thanks, Hader.
Thank you.
We're going to end this podcast with Can't Let It Go, which is that little bit of cricket news you just can't let go through to the keeper. Jaleesa, do you want to go first?
Oh, this is such a stitch up because Mena's actually put mine in the the headlines there
well,
was?
Talk about it because I'm surprised about your Can't Let It Go because he retired before you were born.
Yeah, but you can still appreciate a good cricketer.
So what do you appreciate
about
Merv?
I can't help
when
I was born. That's so mean.
But what do you appreciate about Merv? Obviously, I grew up with Merv. You know, I was one of those guys doing the stretches on the TV.
Having written the Nine News VO on Merv, okay. I actually...
Can you take Woo's job? Continue.
I will not be doing that. And I hope he doesn't take mine.
Worry. There's absolutely no chance of that.
I reviewed a lot of Merv footage. Now, so Swerve and Mervyn was inducted to the Cricket Hall of Fame, and as you've written here, Mena's 53 tests, 212 wickets at 28 and 1,000 runs, and I just wanted to give appreciation to Swerve and Mervyn.
It's a fantastic initiation. He's one of the great blokes of Australian cricket. And I was sort of around the Australian team when he was playing because I had a friend of mine was a manager. And Merv was always so great with the fans. You know, on the Ashes tour in 93, he'd, after play, he'd go and stop in the pub and say hello to all the touring groups. And, you know, a lot of players weren't like that, but he always went that extra mile.
I just realised, you said you're looking through the archives. That's my dream, the Channel 9 cricket archive. That must be...
Oh, well, feel free to come in. They take a lot of restoring because some of, obviously it's on tape, so it's quite a...
Oh, I'm going to have to steal
this is
it,
too
I
much
think.
For Paul. Can you tell me free-to-air cricket in England, the Channel 9 archives.
All I want to do is look at archives from the 1960s.
There's probably a job there you can do, to be honest.
I know, the only problem is I'm absolutely useless. I would end up... you'd say, stitch this up here. Oh, I've ruined everything.
Do you know, but that was like...
He's destroyed the whole lot.
That was a massive job, actually, moving the archives from our old building to... And obviously, I had nothing to do with this, but it's moving the archives from our old building to where we are in North Sydney was someone's whole job to, like, put them digitally.
I could have been the truck driver. I would have moved in my bedroom.
But it's not... they probably would have accepted that.
But Paul,
it's quite a lot.
What is your Can't Let It Go?
Okay, Menas, I'm going to knock you down and then build you up. The other day,
story of my life.
Someone sent out that horrible footage for Australian fans of the England players doing the sprinkler at the SCG after they won the test.
Worst day of my life
in 2010-11.
One of the worst.
And I thought, and they said it's exactly 10 years to the day. And I thought that
wasn't that at the MCG they did that.
I think they did it. Both. Well, yeah, they did it. They both. Did both. Yeah.
Losers.
And I was thinking that means it's been 10 years since they've won a test match in Australia. Because
now you're building.
Now I'm building up. Yeah. 2013, 14, 5-0, 7-8, 4-0. And I just thought, I wonder if that's happened that often. You know, a decade without winning a match. And I've had a look. It's the first time, excluding the wars, that either side has ever gone a decade without winning a match on foreign soil. So if you take out the time from World War I and World War II, this is the first time since 1877 that has ever happened.
That's how bad they
are. So it's a decade and it's never happened except for global war.
That's a good stat to finish. If you went through the results and you just crossed England's name out and just left a blank and just said, should this team tour and have five tests every 4 years, if you were Cricket Australia and you didn't see the name, you go, no, these teams aren't competitive. They just come out here and get hammered. No, we'll get a good team out that's going to be enjoyable. We'll get India every 2 years.
We can't just always play India.
Yeah, we can play England in three tests at home and then, you know, would save space for the teams that are competitive on Australian soil.
It's a very good point. The West Indies, we got them out here as often as we could. And as recently as 96, 97,
smashed
they lost
5-0.
No, they lost 3-2 then.
Oh, yeah. The next
beat
one
them
was 5-0.
0-0-0-1, we beat them 5-0, and that was it. Test match or two test matches ever since. Mm. You're saying, yeah, if England had the same treatment,
that's right.
We wouldn't be inviting them over at all.
Cue England winning the next Ashes 3-1. All right, I've got two little Can't Let It Goes. My first Can't Let It Go is, and it's a moment of self-reflection for me, that
I have.
Oh, here we go.
I have are, you good, are you good at self-reflection?
Are you
learning?
Looking in the mirror?
Are you perfect?
Well, I'll ask Andrew Wu for his opinion, but
I would love to hear it after this.
I'm sure. So, like, Nathan Lyon and I go to sleep in the same way.
You goat to sleep.
Which is both off spinners.
We
both listen to the sound of rain on a tin roof. There's all these Spotify and podcasts where you can just listen to the sound
where
of rain.
Where is this going?
I'm just saying that Nathan Lyon and I both listen to the same sound to go to sleep.
Can't you just listen to your head noise like everyone else?
No, no. You've heard me, so you can imagine how horrific it's inside. And
can't escape.
And the other bit of can't let it go is, for once, a cricket tournament hasn't grabbed my attention. The T10 in Abu Dhabi, I tried to watch bits of it. It actually doesn't start that late. I think they start about 11 o'clock at night, and good friend Lisa Stelake is commentating, but just hasn't, I don't know, T10 and I guess those teams and the squads, because I don't know a lot of the players, just hasn't grabbed my attention.
It's fake news.
Yeah. Actually, now that you mention it, this is how tragic I am. I think I wouldn't mind watching that. When's where's it being broadcast?
On Foxtel at 11 o'clock every night.
Oh, there you go.
It's worth a watch. I mean, there's a few West Indian players there. Great Gail was there. Mainly the West Indian stars, but Shoaib Malik's playing.
It's just
like
the
50.
Short format I don't like. It's too short.
Yeah.
But I hated 2020 when it came out.
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to be one of those people that knocks
it. Now I love it.
Yeah, I was the same. I was very much against it.
In years to come, it may be the only form of the sport that exists. It's probably the natural form. It's the same length as a football game.
Yeah.
T10.
Yeah.
Now, that's all the cricket talk. So I just wanted to, before we go, Paul, you know, we mentioned before that you've been watching the US Office. Now, where are you with the US Office?
Finished.
Wow. Did you like it?
I did. It's the only thing I've ever actually completed in my life, I think, because we started watching it, and then halfway through I got so stressed about the cringeworthy comedy, I stopped. But then we've actually gone back and I've watched every single episode. Yeah, I loved it. It was great.
One of your favourite shows, do you think, now?
Yeah.
What about you? Have you seen the US Office, Jaleesa?
No, I have a life.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. No, all I watch is sport and weird Louis Theroux documentaries. That's pretty much my whole life.
Well, I'm re-watching 30 Rock now, another NBC comedy.
Are we getting paid to plug this?
No, I'm just saying that...
this show is brought to you by Justin Langer and 30 Rock.
I'm now watching 30 Rock.
Is Tina Fey going to pay
us? Very funny.
It's hilarious.
So, yeah, that's my reward. I've watched The Office about 6 times.
Is this a new segment that we have, like, after Can't Let It Go, we talk...
No, I asked you about The Office a lot at the end of the show. Okay. And if you're listening this far into the podcast,
I
know Robert Fairhead's listening. Hello. It's just you at this stage, but thank you for sticking on. All right. Well, that's it for Cricket Unfiltered. Paul's finished The Office. I'm starting 30 Rock. Jaleesa's watching documentaries. Jaleesa, nice to see you. Will we get you next week?
Ugh.
We'll see.
Ugh. Can I mentally put myself through another one? Yes, I'll be here.
And Paul, go and enjoy the free-to-air coverage in England with all your mates, English mates.
I'm not there. I have to.
Well,
enjoy quarantine. Sounds good.
Yeah. All right, that's it for Cricket Unfiltered. Thanks to Carlos Brathwaite and James Vince, and we'll be back next week.
Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.